If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Azam, ghayru din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the medical issues, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, let me ask you this question. If a boy and a girl, God forbid, had a legal physical relationship resulting in the girl becoming pregnant with an illegitimate child, all right?
Yes.
In this event, that later they marry each other legally, of course, is the child considered legitimate or illegitimate?
The marriage contract concluded after fornication or adultery, of course, God forbid, does not change what happened previously.
Mm-hmm. Or prior to the marriage.
Yeah, prior to the marriage, you're right. Therefore, if a girl, let's say, conceives before the legal marriage contract, the child is illegitimate by birth. And therefore, all the consequences should be understood in that context, that the child is illegitimate.
Would you give some examples of those consequences?
Yeah, of course, the consequences that the child, an illegitimate child, cannot inherit. He does not inherit. She does not inherit. And of course, as a legitimate person who by birth was born illegitimate, mm-hmm. cannot lead a congregational prayer. He cannot become a judge, a Muslim judge. And these are some of the consequences of illegitimacy of birth.
Yes.
Illegitimacy of birth. So no matter what is going to happen after fornication, whether the boy and girl marries each other or not, or they do not marry, in either case, in both cases, of course, the child will not become legitimate by birth.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much. My next question, Sheikh Javid, is that some hereditary diseases, such as thalassemia and sickle cell anemia, spread in our society very much, spread like wildfire, which have negative effects on children. And some of them are very dangerous, perilous. If a man marries a woman who conceives and then comes to know that the fetus suffers from any of or one of these diseases, is it then permissible or is it good enough reason to abort the pregnancy?
Just as I said in one of the previous answers to your question, I think it's it's not my answer. It is the answer coming from the Risala or the Manual of Islamic Laws authored by His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. It's not permissible to have abortion under any circumstances, like the example you gave. For example, a child suffers from a disease and that disease might spread, okay. Or maybe the child might be born with a disease. Okay, the disease, every child might, have some kind of health issues or health conditions. And these health conditions do not become a license for termination of the pregnancy. And therefore, a man, or a woman should not, let's say, under these excuses, go ahead having abortion. And it's very much prudent, very much important that the man and the woman should, go for premarital screening or the medical tests that are now carried out in order to reduce the possibility of such diseases, and therefore it's very much important that the man chooses a woman who to marry after careful examination and to ensure the safety of his offspring and to ensure that he will, of course, have children, healthy children.
Mm-hmm.
That these precautionary measures should be taken, of course. And if it's not taken, if there is a child that's going to be born with a disease, or maybe the child is likely to be born with a disease, these excuses or these causes, these reasons cannot be an excuse, a valid excuse, or an acceptable excuse for termination of the pregnancy.
I see. Thank you very much, Dr. Abid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. For this program, Islam Gloss on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We are still talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the medical issues with Sheikh Javid. You, kindly answered lots of questions that I raised regarding the medical issues. I would like to ask you another question, Sheikh Javid, and I would be delighted if I have your comment on this. What is the ruling on using contraceptives such as tablets, injections, coils, insulation, suppositories, cervical caps, ointments, and the like?
Good. We have already answered this question, but now you're giving me some very good examples like, injections, cervical caps and so on.
Yes.
These are the contraceptives methods used nowadays. They are very much current. Of course, all of them are allowed if they do not lead to the termination of the sperm after it has been, conceived,
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, a woman is already pregnant and the woman takes the tablet to kill the, there are such in scenarios. A woman feels, very strongly that she is very much likely to be pregnant. And then she jumps into action and takes, a tablet or does something to terminate the pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
even though she's not sure. But in the event that she has a strong feeling that she is pregnant, she cannot use these contraceptives, which somehow prove to be fatal and to be deadly, and which might cause the death of the fetus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to make sure that she is not pregnant, otherwise she cannot use any of these contraceptives. Of course, some of these contraceptive methods are not deadly.
Mm-hmm.
They can be used.
Mm-hmm. I see. Quite related to what you try to imply in the answer to the previous question that I raised and I asked you, what is the ruling on using contraceptives when one does not know how those contraceptives work and effect?
Generally speaking, contraceptives are allowed, and when one does not know, when a woman does not know that she is pregnant or that she has conceived, she can use all of those contraceptives, provided, mm-hmm. Discussed it in one of the episodes, that the contraceptives must not terminate, must not cause permanent, destruction of the uterus, or it should not be irreversible. Of course, if it is reversible, there's no objection. Otherwise, it is problematic.
Mm-hmm. And Sheikh Javid, as the last question, I would like to ask you about a birth control method. Is it permissible for a woman to perform a procedure called tubal ligation as a birth control method with the husband's consent?
Well, as long as the husband is consenting to it, it is permissible. And as I said, if it is a reversible contraceptive method, which means that returning to the normal state is possible at any stage, and whenever the woman actually wants to return, then there is no objection in it. it is permissible. The husband's consent is required. But of course, when you just change the scenario and go the other way around, like for example, if the husband wants to use vasectomy, he does not need his wife's consent and permission. But if it's the other way around, of course, the wife should take her husband's consent and permission. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, okay, there is objection.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, for your nice answers. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.